Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Amid the headlines about kidnappings, school shootings, and the like, survivors share a common problem, that of psychological trauma and even post-traumatic stress. Our next guest is a pioneer in the field of helping victims of such events. Frank Ochberg is a clinical professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University. He has founded, headed, or been a part of a number of organizations dealing with PTSD, and he was head of the Michigan Department of Mental Health from 1979 to 1981. In addition, you've probably seen him on national TV talking about the challenges faced by trauma survivors. Frank Ochberg joins us now by phone. Thanks for joining us.
You are welcome. Glad to be here, Mark.
You were an expert witness in the recent trial of Ariel Castro, the Cleveland man who held three women and a child captive for years. And there has been word this morning that Castro killed himself in his cell overnight. I have to ask you, what effect do you think this news will have on the recovery of the women he victimized?
You know, this is exactly what I'm asking myself right now. And here are a few of my thoughts. I don't believe that they right away are going to feel gleeful or anything in the opposite direction. I'm a little concerned that two of them in particular, who I think have a strong case of Stockholm syndrome, and Mark, we could talk about that a little bit later, they may feel sad. And then they may ask themselves why they're feeling sad. So there can be confusion. Were I their therapist, I'd want to surface that and be sure they're talking it out and are finding themselves at peace with themselves.
Do you know what kind of therapy these people, the women, are getting?
I know that it's being provided pro bono, free of care, and by skilled therapists who are associated with the Cleveland Clinic, and they are women. That much I know. As I said when I testified, I did not interview them directly. I did interview Castro's daughter for a little bit over an hour, and that's interesting, Mark. She was asking me, did my dad really love me? And I believe that she was raised with a dad who expressed love toward her and never was abusive. So he had within him the capacity to show tenderness, care, happiness. I looked at a lot of, would you believe, home movies. They took movies inside that house of horror. And they celebrated Easter and Christmas. They put stockings up or had self-made artifacts that were appropriate for the season. And I don't have my mind.
This is the most extraordinary combination of the conventional with the pathological that you can possibly imagine.
Yes, it is. It has us all theorizing, pulling together information that I believe we know as professionals and trying to apply them in a situation that is as bizarre. Now, here's a point that I made on the stand and that I've made in most public conversations. This kind of an event captures national and world attention, but there are millions of women, for the most part, men as well, who have been abused this way in their own homes. They are essentially held hostage for 10 years, from ages 6 or 7 to 16 or 17. There are pathological tyrants in the household, and they bully, and they sexually abuse. And when I mentioned this months ago, I got such amazing letters from older women, one in her 80s, a couple in their 60s and 70s, saying, "Thank you, doctor, for letting people know what we lived through. And we're doing all right now." It was the ones who were psychologically healthy who said, "Eventually, we had good therapy. We found good partners. But this happens, and it's an extensive and terrible secret." And I'm talking about the amount of incest and things that are very close to incest that happen in households across the country.
We're talking with Dr. Frank Ochberg about trauma and his work in the field of trauma, PTSD, Stockholm Syndrome, and related disorders. How did you pick this subject of trauma and healing from trauma to be your life's work?
Well, you know, my 91-year-old aunt just asked me that question yesterday. Turns out when she was young, she was introduced to social work, and she said, "That's what I'm going to do with my life." Mark, I never had a clue that things would evolve in this direction. But I was very shaken by the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy back in 1968. I was a resident at Stanford in psychiatry. I was a medical student when President Kennedy was killed, and I think that motivated me to organize my colleagues, to write a book on violence. After a while, I ended up as the psychiatrist on the National Task Force on Terrorism and Disorder, and a fellow who became a very good friend of mine represented the FBI, and he had read the book that I wrote when I was really a kid, And he said, "Hey, Frank, we have enough people studying perpetrators. You've got a feel for the victims. That's worth pursuing." And back in the day, there weren't that many who specialized in victims and survivors of violence. It's interesting because we cope in many different ways. We can learn from one another, and actually, the outcome is quite good. By and large, the prognosis is positive.
You've suggested that the worst kind of suffering is survivor guilt. Now, with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, we must have an increased number of people with that kind of trauma. As a society, Frank, what do we need to do most to help them recover?
First is what we're doing right now, and you may know, Mark, that in the last couple of decades of my life, I've concentrated on working with journalists and help organize international groups of journalists who ask these questions seriously, and they follow the science, and they have the skill to do it well. I think we have to make it part of our national conversation. And I admire the veteran who feels deeply, deeply disturbed that his friend or her friend died and he or she didn't. And they carry that within them. And that's a sign of having an active and a good conscience. And what I end up being friendly as a therapist, but I don't just simply say, "Oh, it wasn't your fault." That doesn't work. I found recently saying to someone in that circumstance, "Well, our job is to make you stronger so that you can carry that burden." You don't want to trivialize the burden of living when somebody died. And you want to help a person become normal, joyful. PTSD takes away your ability to feel love, joy. And for a religious person, it actually takes away the sensation that God loves them. Mm. And if we therapists can understand that and work on how to kindle the capacity for positive feelings, we're doing a good job. Well, you know, we we put our own personalities into this, so each of us does it in a somewhat different way.
Frank Ochberg is clinical professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University. It's been great to talk with you, Dr. Ochberg. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.